You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. The world's greatest radio. You're in touch with faith and family. Our mission is to share uplifting information that supports families in living more abundant lives. And I'm Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and this is radio the way it should be heard.
In the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shout. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water. Always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter. Take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors.
Good afternoon, my faith and family friends. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Carolyn Pettigrew, and I'm here to share information for our more abundant living. It's been over 30 years since our 10-year-old son, Gil, a future biologist, naturalist, researcher, author, and natural science professor, planted the first flowers and vegetable garden beside our back steps. That garden has since developed and grown to earn a 3 certifications as a wildlife habitat, monarch support system, and a sanctuary. So today I want to share one of my favorite passions. Our topic for today is creating a butterfly garden, creation care through butterfly gardening, or how to start a butterfly garden. Beginning a butterfly garden can be as simple as choosing flowering plants that will invite adult butterflies to our gardens to feed. But if we want to create a butterfly garden that will act as a sanctuary, attracting a wide variety of butterflies, while also providing a place where butterflies can grow and multiply, you will first need some simple planning by considering which plants to grow and evaluating your garden site. You can plant a butterfly garden that will help with the creation of more butterflies. And that's just what we're talking about today, creation care through butterfly gardening, or how to start a butterfly garden. The first step is to plant selection, is to choose the plants that you want to put in your garden in order to attract butterflies. Many flowering plants will attract butterflies to your location, your yard, containers, or patios, or even window boxes. But not all flowers are created equally in the compound eyes of a butterfly. Selecting plants that will feed butterflies while also encouraging them to stick around for a while, laying eggs, and creating a new generation of butterflies is our goal. To do this, we need to choose plants that fall into two groups: nectar plants that will provide adult butterflies with energy, and caterpillar food plants that will feed caterpillars. With careful selection from these two groups, nectar plants for adult butterflies and caterpillar food plants that feed caterpillars, our garden will provide for the entire life cycle of butterflies. Choosing nectar plants is the next step. While shopping for garden plants, you will encounter many plant labels. The plants are labeled butterfly friendly. These labels are most likely telling the truth, and if you choose plants for butterfly gardens, they will attract butterflies. Most likely, though, these plants are nectar plants, remember, for the adult butterfly. And that's all right. And they're marketed for their bright blooms and will not provide for the caterpillar stage of butterfly's life. Although many flowering plants provide nectar to adult butterflies, it is worth doing a little research to find out what plants attract butterflies. It is worth doing a little research to find out which plants attract the most butterflies in your area. Just as growing conditions vary by location, so do the population of butterflies' nectar plants. Some plants will serve as both in nectar and caterpillar food plants, and it may be worth searching out some of these double offerings. Choosing caterpillar food plants, that's our next step, step three. The relationship between butterflies, caterpillars, and the plants they use for food is not a casual one. It is a relationship created over thousands of years as flowering plants developed alongside insects as a result of these long development. Caterpillars will use only certain plants, sometimes we call them native plants, for food. At the same time, butterflies are equally picky about what plants they will select to lay their eggs on. Opportunities don't exist for caterpillars. If opportunities don't exist for caterpillars, you won't attract butterflies who can live their whole life through in your garden, and that's what we're wanting to do. In order to encourage caterpillars in the garden, butterfly gardeners need only select the plants that are preferred by caterpillars in their location. Nature and chemistry will take care of the rest. For example, monarch butterflies lay their eggs on orange milkweed, and their caterpillars love to feast on the leaves of this milkweed plant. This is the only plant that they will, that their larva or caterpillar will eat. Parsley loves to host the caterpillar of the yellow swallowtail, and it lays its eggs on the yellow swallowtail, on the parsley plant. Choosing plants for butterflies common to your region, step four. To determine which butterflies and caterpillars may arrive in your garden, visit local butterfly gardens in your region or talk to other butterfly gardeners. If such opportunities don't exist, butterfly field guides provide information about which butterflies are likely to visit your area gardens and what native food sources they prefer. The library is also a wonderful source for finding these field guides. After you have identified the butterflies that are most likely to visit gardens in your area, you can select the preferred caterpillar food plants along with nectar plants that are recommended for your growing area. One of my favorite nectar plants is the purple coneflower. Perhaps you've seen it. It doesn't have purple flowers, but they are more of a beautiful pink with maybe kind of a purplish, yellowish center. And the scientific name is called Echinacea. And not only do butterflies feast on it for nectar, but also the yellow bird, the goldfinch, loves the seeds in the middle of the echinacea plant after its blooming has been completed and it begins to dry. In fact, I leave this plant in my garden throughout the fall and winter. I don't deadhead it so that the birds can feast on the seeds throughout the winter. Parsley and is a wonderful caterpillar food, as I've said, and the yellow swallowtail, which I see all the time in my yard, loves to lay their eggs on the caterpillar there. Lay their eggs on the parsley plant. And, you know, I was reading in one of my resources, and they were suggesting that when you see the caterpillar of the yellow swallowtail on the parsley plant, on the parsley leaves, that you can either leave it there and cover the plant with a very light film of fine netting, that doesn't break the stems or bother the caterpillar. You can put that over the pot, or you can actually gently remove the caterpillar, put it in what they call butterfly feeders. We used to have those when our children were growing up. Or you can put it in a jar, put holes in the jar, little holes for air, of course, and make sure you put stems of the parsley leaves and their stems in the jar, place the caterpillar in the jar, and regularly replace dried leaves or dried stems with fresh parsley stems so that the swallowtail caterpillar can feast on those leaves, and you'll see it, then you'll observe it grow into a chrysalis, hang from the lid, and eventually open up, come out of the chrysalis to become a full-fledged yellow swallowtail. Make sure the jar is a large, fairly large one, because these are large butterflies. And we've raised butterflies before as the children were growing up, and it's a fun thing to do, and then to release them into the wild, release them so that they can go on and fulfill their life cycle. Well, that's just a little aside. But the next step that we want to talk about is pick your garden site. That's step five. Planting a wide range of nectar and host plants, in other words, nectar plants for adult butterflies, and host food plants for caterpillars, is the best plan for attracting the largest number of butterfly species, different butterflies. I have attracted in my butterfly garden a painted lady, the cabbage, of course, which is very common, the white cabbage. Sometimes I see the sulfur, the crescent, which is a little black and orange spotted butterfly, the monarch, of course, and the black swallowtail. I've seen the black swallowtail and the yellow swallowtail. And in another presentation, I could share what plants, what host plants and nectar plants attract some of these butterflies. Or when you read your field guide, it will share with you the plants for nectar and caterpillars that you can plant in your garden in order to attract the butterflies that grow in your region. I've even seen a red admiral, which is beautiful and delightful. Butterflies may be attracted to your garden by a large patch of bright flowers, but they will linger longer if there are also areas that provide shelter, water, sun, and diverse group of plants that imitate the way plants grow in the wild. And one thing environmentalists have been encouraging backyard gardeners and church businesses is to have less lawn, because lawn doesn't really help our ecosystem to recover, because it doesn't attract all of the pollinators and the butterflies and the birds and all that we need to support it, because some of these have been lessened because of damage to our ecosystem. And so we're encouraged to plant gardens, butterfly gardens, butterfly and bird gardens, wildflower gardens that attract all kinds of wildlife, and have less lawn, so that our lawn becomes a healer for our yard. Our yards become a healer for the ecosystem and begins to support many of our endangered insects and pollinators, including bees, because, as you know, they support our food source, and we need our pollinators. So that's a little aside that I'm sharing with you. Your plants need to be diverse. That's step six. Plant diversity in the garden results from choosing plants of different types, such as shrubs, trees, perennials. And perennials are flowers that return each year once planted. And I mentioned the purple coneflower. It's such a plant. The tall garden phlox, it comes back every year. In fact, mine is reblooming. I planted it last year, and it's reblooming now. Another example of a biennial, it doesn't bloom annually or perennially, is the yucca plant. Now, I have a yucca, you know, those are the tall plants with the beautiful bell-shaped cream flowers. Hummingbirds love them, butterflies, other insects. It was planted, the mother plant was planted almost 20 years ago, and it's still there. But they do spread a little bit. They're not invasive, and they spread a little bit. So there are a couple of what I call babies, maybe three or four babies. And so last year, the parent plant, the original 20-year-old plants, both of them bloomed. They won't bloom this summer, but this year their offspring will bloom. And then the following year, the parent yucca will bloom. So that's what we mean by biennial. They even say there are some coneflowers and some other flowers that bloom that way, but every 2 years. So it's nice to have all of them. The annuals that bloom once, they're really great for nectar. And your perennials that bloom every year, they just come back. You deadhead them, they come back. They sow seeds, they come back, or spread by rhizomes. And your biennials, a few of those in the garden is nice. And also vines. We can put one or two vines in our yard on trellises. In choosing plants that grow to different heights with a variety of flower shapes and colors that have different bloom times, you will be creating a garden that is attractive to a wide range of butterflies, especially butterflies like colors like purple, pink, and yellow. And grouping more than one plant of each type together. I usually purchase two to three of each kind of plant so that they can bloom together. And doing this will help to unify the look of the garden and will lessen the distance that nectaring butterflies have to travel. And I thought that was kind of a cute fact, because we think flying, so therefore you can cover distance quickly. But that's one of the things that entomologists who study butterflies tell us that we should do, is try to group them so that they don't group like nectar plants or caterpillar food plants so that they don't have as far a distance to fly or to, I guess, walk or whatever. If your garden is small or in containers or window boxes and you have no room for trees or shrubs, consider an arbor covered with vines to create height. There are containers with trellises components, or one can put a trellis in the ground. I have three trellises. I have a major trellis for a vine that I have, and then I have two smaller trellises. But there are even pots that you can purchase, and you can purchase separately the trellis addition that can just stick down in the dirt in your pot, and your vine can grow up that trellis. There are also many vines to choose from that act as nectar or caterpillar plants. Also, think about hanging baskets of bright annuals for nectar. And as I've mentioned before, window boxes can be filled with nectar and caterpillar plants. To learn more about attracting butterflies to your yard, there's a wonderful book called Attracting Birds, Butterflies, and Other Backyard Wildlife. And it is published by the National Wildlife Federation. Now, you can, of course, go to the library and get this resource. You can purchase it from the webpage on the National Wildlife Federation, and you can purchase it directly off of Amazon. An excellent resource for researching and developing your butterfly garden. If you get this book in the ways that I've mentioned, you will really enjoy it, and it'll become a handbook for you, and you will use it throughout the growing season and beyond for a lot of your research, and you'll go to the nurseries, and you can use it for shopping for the plants that you need. Now, shelter. That's our seventh step. While shrubs and trees can create unnecessary shade, they do provide an important feature in the butterfly garden. Now, the word unnecessary, I'd have to think about that, because I love having shade in my yard, but also that's because the placement of these trees is in a good spot, and it does not obliterate or cover up the sun that comes in the backyard. So, That's what they mean by that. We love shade of the trees, but we want them to be placed so that wherever your garden is, you get plenty of sun. Appropriately placed trees and shrubs provide shelter for our gardens from wind, which makes it easier for butterflies to explore your location. Additionally, trees and shrubs give valuable shelter where butterflies can roost at night or hide from predators. Keep in mind that many shrubs and trees are also caterpillar foods. Water, our eighth step. Water is needed by butterflies, but not very much. Nectar, dew, and tree sap provide butterflies with moisture, but puddles and moist dirt or sand are popular water sources also. Puddling stations can be as simple as a damp area of ground covered with sand. placed where they are easily viewed and sheltered from the wind. Puddling stations are thought to provide dissolved salts in addition to water. Now, this is true. If you can, most of us can find a place where it's kind of muddy. Maybe the grass won't grow there, and we can scruff that up a little bit and put water there and just let the sun, you know, dampen it. And butterflies will come there and drink from that space, that moist dirt. And they say they get natural salts that are good for the butterflies. Also, I have seen, I've never ordered them, but I've actually seen mixtures that you can purchase, just like you can purchase hummingbird liquid mixes, but mixes for butterflies so that you can mix it up, and it has salts and it has sand, and you can mix it up and put it out in a little dish, and butterflies will come to that and drink, I'm told. But however you do it, you need to have opportunities for puddling and for the moist spots for drinking and gathering. And sometimes you'll see a lot of butterflies. If you're out walking in the park or something, you might see a lot of butterflies gathered around muddy puddle, and they're drinking and getting their salt intake. Also, one thing that is recommended, and I just purchased it this year, and I need to get a stand to hang it on, is a butterfly feeder. That kind of supplements all the wonderful flowers you'll have in your garden, but you can put a fermented fruit in it, because some butterflies, they only eat fermented fruit. They'll drink nectar from flowers, but they prefer fermented or rotten fruit. And you can put other things there if you want to put your salt mixture, the sand there. But and you can hang it. You've seen stands for hanging flowers. Well, you can get kind of a hook, a tall wrought iron stand that has a hook, and you can put the butterfly feeder on that. I'm looking at that right now in the book that I just recommended to you. The important thing is not to put it on the ground where larger animals like raccoon or possum or skunks or other animals can eat it, or neighborhood cats or dogs, because we're not trying to attract animals that might be concerned to us, to our garden. So that's the thing you need to be aware of from there. Well, it's time for a break, and I'm going to take a break, and we're talking today about butterfly gardening, caring for creation through butterfly gardening, or how to start a butterfly garden. And I'm just sharing some tips on what you might want to do if you want to help care for the earth by starting a butterfly garden. We'll be right back.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio, the way it should be heard. Stay right there, and we'll be right back on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Oh, wait a minute. They told us we had it all, Jordan. Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of all.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Tia.
And I'm Heather.
And we are Three Voices.
You want this drama over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about it.
I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
only you can prevent wildfires.
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Kyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are, but I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
Would it be crazy if you packed your bags and left? Peace Corps. Life is calling. How far will you go? To find out more, call 1-800-424-8580 or visit peacecorps.gov.
Sorrow at dawn, and again at dusk, grinds our insides, knots our bellies, pangs finger woven from remembering meat. Our cheeks draw close together, water, sour. Some mornings I wake weeping, fold my soul within my hand, press my will into my lips. With each tear, I covet the salt of Lot's wife. Half an ounce of joy would buy our lives. We survive on the crumbs others disdain. Pray they are clumsy, leave handfuls behind. What they esteem lightly enlightens our eyes. Nights make us ache for when we had peace, when we were people of plenty, had more than we needed. There were grapes in this land that it took two to carry. Of course, there were not. That was Canaan. We know it. Memory satisfies one kind of hunger.
Well, we're right back, and as I said, we're talking about caring for creation through butterfly gardening, or how to start a butterfly garden. Now, I wanted to say that I don't want you to forget about your binoculars. We have a number of pair, and we've had binoculars, owned binoculars, almost everyone in our family, since our children were like 2 and 3 years old. And now what's wonderful, there are companies that sell binoculars for young children, and our grandson has a pair, and he loves them, and he can look at the birds, he can look at the butterflies. But when you're on your patio, when you're in your backyard, when you're wherever you are, we were at the Park of Roses the other day, and I saw butterflies playing, and it was fun, you know, to pick up your binoculars and kind of watch that mating ritual that butterflies have when they're mating. And so don't forget your binoculars. You need those when you're relaxing and you want to see, you see a monarch on a milkweed plant or drinking from any nectar plant that you've put, your annuals or whatever, and you want to get a better view. Sometimes I've been able to get fairly close without them flying away, but oftentimes I will sit on my in my sunroom and open the screen and lean out and look through my binoculars. And it's such a joy. It's a kind of serendipitous kind of joy in your heart. You just have so much gratitude for that glimpse into God's beauty and nature. And you know that you're doing a good thing for endangered species that help us in so many ways, including pollination of our food source. The ninth step is sun. Of course, I've mentioned sun before, but we definitely do need sun. Sun is essential for the butterfly garden. Butterflies are cold-blooded insects that often start their day by warming their bodies in the sun. The hours between 10 o'clock a.m. and 3 p.m. are peak butterfly garden visiting and activity hours. Be sure to include a spot in the garden where sunlight will reach the ground early in the day. Maybe a sort of a large medium rock too that's not intrusive so that you can walk safely. Place it in your garden. It heats up. The butterflies can bask there in the sun. But they like to come out between the hours of 10 and 3. And they feed, lay their eggs. They're very active. And if we provide an area where sunlight will reach the ground early in the day, they'll be welcome during those first hours of activity. And as I said, a large rock, exposed soil, or pavement are all surfaces that will warm up in the morning sunlight. Try to locate your garden where it will receive at least 6 hours of direct sunlight each day. And you'll remember that because as you buy your plants that are attracting your butterflies, adult butterflies, and encouraging them to lay their eggs on host caterpillar plants, those will be the plants that need full sun. And It isn't to say that you can't have some plants, of course, in your shade areas. I have some ferns that I just baby and love that my first cousin Barbara gave to me. They belong to my grand aunt and her grandmother all over 100 years ago, the original ferns. And she has shared with me, I now have those ferns, the great-grandchildren ferns, if I might say that, in my yard. And they need shade and moisture. So we can still enjoy plants that are not necessarily for butterflies, but we're just focusing now on butterflies. But I enjoy my ferns, and it just connects me to my grand aunt Irma, and of course to my cousin Barbara, who has shared the progeny of her grandmother's ferns, and they're still going strong, still continuing to produce over 100 years later. Once you have combined careful plant selection with details of site selection, you will have created a butterfly garden that is a microhabitat, providing a unique location where a wide variety of butterflies can live and grow. You can feel fulfilled because you are caring for creation and helping to heal our ecosystem, our earth. Now that I heal our earth through butterfly gardening, and now that I've shared those tips with you, I want to thank you for listening. I want to wish you much happiness and joy in your butterfly gardening. But I have some additional things to share with you, just as sort of meditations. We just can listen to them. Before I do that, I will share with you a couple of other resources I have here, because I knew that we would be talking about this and that my tips would be shared, and I wanted to then have some additional time to share some additional things to you related to butterfly gardening. You know, I shared the first resource, that was the Attracting Birds and Butterflies and Other Backyard Wildlife, published by the National Wildlife Federation. And I might say that I began with my children subscribing with my son and daughter when they were young, subscribing to a magazine called Ranger Rick. And then later, as they got older in elementary school, the National Wildlife Magazine. And you can go on and subscribe to those magazines for your young people in your life. I also share those subscriptions with other children in our lives, because those are wonderful. Those magazines are wonderful ways to encourage little citizen scientists to become aware of how important it is to care for our earth, to care for creation, to care for the environment. So that's a tip right there. Then also, there is one book I have here. It's called Design Natural Midwest Garden. And I live in the Midwest, so this is Design Your Natural Midwest Garden. It's by Patricia Hill, and it's Trail Books, and I'm sure that you can go online if you have interest in that. Another one is published by Birds and Blooms. That's another delightful magazine that you can get from your library. All of these are from get from your library and enjoy reading. This is called Gardening for Birds, Butterflies, and Bees. Everything you need to know to create a wildlife habitat in your backyard. And this is a wonderful resource also. These are all wonderful resources. I have some that are more technical, and I didn't bring any of those to share. But you can really feast upon all of these resources and just experience such joy knowing that you are caring for the earth, because as Scripture says, we are to have dominion over the earth, to care for the earth. And we want to remember that as a part of our call and mission. I thought this was nice. This is from the one of my Butterfly Gardener magazines, and it's a woman sharing in her garden, and it's written almost like a poem, but it's lovely. And if you listen, you'll hear the butterflies and you'll hear the names of the nectar and some of the caterpillar plants that they like. In the garden, my backyard is full of passion flowers, which bring in our golf fritillary. They are laying eggs and trying to run off the big Texas bumblebees that like the flowers too. My backyard is totally planted with nectar and caterpillar food plants. Milkweed for monarchs and queens, dill, parsley, and rue for the black and anise swallowtails, pipevine for pipevine swallowtails, and most loved for nectar, porterweed, bee balm, and Indian blanket. And this is Pamela Parsons in Corpus Christi, Texas, sharing about the nectar and caterpillar plants that are in her yard and the butterflies that they attract. So you get kind of a brief little education about plants and how they relate to butterflies and caterpillars. Also, just listen as we hear a little bit about our meaning and purpose through plants and gardening. John Jenick says, "There are many things I'd like to change in the world, but feel powerless to do so. By planting native plants in my garden, I can make an immediate impact. By planting native plants in my garden, I can make an immediate impact." He says that because we know that trees give off oxygen, and we need that. That's why we were so alarmed when they began the deforestation of the Amazon forest, because of all the oxygen produced. But our trees, our plants, we need our plants because they help sustain the pollinators that then help with the cycle of our food production. Maybe another time we'll go more in depth in that. But we are caring for the earth when we do butterfly gardening, when we encourage birds to come to our yard, even small animals, all kinds of insects, pollinators, and beyond. There are all kinds of ways we can go into solar panels and all other ways of caring for our environment. But we are a part of being citizen scientists when we do our parts. That may feel small, but you can see by this quote, planting these native plants have an immediate impact to sustaining and helping. Our bumblebees, our bees are very endangered. So we need plants that encourage them. And many of the same plants that encourage butterflies, adult butterflies for nectar, are also plants that encourage our bees. One of the poems that I wanted to share with you is, before I go on to our closing. It's about the Atala butterfly. This is very dear to our hearts because our son was in Florida doing the things that he does, professoring and all, but he developed for a science project down there the protocol for reestablishing and bringing the near-extinct Atala butterfly back to its existence. There were two butterflies. They used his protocol, South Florida, and a citizen science group. And they planted the plant, the host plant, which was Kunti. And people had felt it was a weed. So through the years, people killed it with pesticides and pulled it out because they felt it was weeds and it wasn't beautiful in their wonderful gardens. And so through the South Florida projects for reestablishing some of the many near-extinct butterflies, they worked to encourage citizens to plant the Kunti plant. That was just one plant for one butterfly, which was the Atala. And they used this one particular citizen science group used Gill's protocol for bringing this near extinguished butterfly back, the Atala. And they planted Kunti, had citizen groups plant Kunti. They sold Kunti. They planted it all over the grounds of all kinds of public and private places, and they were blessed with the fact that the Atala butterfly, which is a gorgeous butterfly, you can Google it, was restored. Now, that was back in 2006, 2007, so I was reading in my magazine on butterflies, spring of 2023, they're still thriving despite all the hurricanes and all of that. And so this person, Stacy Lee Sherwood, she is a preservationist and animal advocate, and she raises butterflies and supports them and in her yard and then releases them. She's in Florida. And so here's what she writes about the Atala. Her poem, The Comeback Kid. Her eyes open to greet the morning, dewdrops on her wings, shimmering blue sparkles as sunlight gently passes over. Wings stretched as she catches the wind, soaring with beauty and grace. As she takes to the sky, high above the world, free and safe. Looking for the light that guides her, the wind gently whispers and catches her eye as fluttering wings dance in the breeze. Once thought to be extinct, her kind had vanished, only to be rediscovered, hidden away in small pockets, hanging on just barely. As springtime brings life anew, she finds her mate and lays her eggs with hope for the next generation. The Atala butterfly has a story to tell of life once lost, then found again. Their delicate balance in nature warns of peril. We should listen, lest we forget how close they once came to being gone from the earth forever.
Speak is one.
I close now and wish you happy butterfly gardening and joy with a poem that's on my grandmother's garden plate, and it's by Helen Steiner Rice. My garden of prayer. My garden beautifies my yard and adds fragrance to the air, but it is also my cathedral and my quiet place of prayer. So little do we realize that the glory and the power of He who made the universe lies hidden in a flower. Thank you, my faith and family friends, for listening. Happy butterfly gardening. Happy summer. Blessings galore. Joy to you. Goodbye.
Start. It starts in the ocean, and when I start my day, okay. Look slick, shower. After I shave, thank the Lord for all that God gave. Brush my teeth with the water, always see me with Fiji bottles of water. In the summer, it's hotter, take her swimming, you gotta. Make these opposites back up like lobsters, indigenous warriors, we warrior up for water. Catch California slipping, never, let's say imposters, you already know. Cali mountaintops with snow, the Sierras in the Rockies, snowboarding in the winter, surfing in the summer, feeling so cocky. I'm riding. We'll hit you with the super soaker. Life's got ups and downs like a roller coaster.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.